how do we keep him at 11,000 every week? That's the goal. I mean, because if we can do that for Ubaldo, his wife, his kids, it's a different ball game for him where he lives, where he shops, what he's looking to do, what he can do for his kids, what camps they can go to. You know, what type of things do you want to see happen in your life? You know, Brian M., 7 apps for $9,000, big stuff. I mean, just hardcore. D. Garcia, just killing it, $7,000 in premium, $7,700. We got Porcina Guzman, readily over 7. Both of those guys killing it. We got a slew of people from 2 to 4. We need to get those people to 5. Why? Because you can do more for your situation, your family, where you want to be, how you want to see it, you know, what days you want to take off. I said this on the bullpen session that we do on Mondays. I said, listen, if you want to get a massage every week, you control that. You know, you want to spend $150 on a massage every single week, 85-minute massage, God bless your heart. Go work. It's not a bad way to live. Not a bad way to live. Planning your vacations, where you're headed, you know, which restaurants you want to eat at. How many restaurants in New York City do you want to conquer? How many shows do you want to conquer? Your life, your rules. You make it happen. You're in control of that. So big stuff. People are moving. I said this week will be well over 100,000 for the first time in a while, which is great. And we need to continue that momentum into the fourth quarter because the time is now. And I got my buddy John on the call, and he's number 3 in the entire country. He's over 300,000 issue paid to state. He's definitely going to finish above $500,000. He's killing it. He's writing annuities, writing a ton of life volume. Probably one of the most humble cats I know, just from the standpoint of his stature in the company and how humble he is to be there. It's an honor to have him on the call. John, you with me?
Hey, Mark, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Hey, you loud and clear, buddy. And I appreciate you getting on the call. I know you guys are killing it down there in Atlanta, and you guys got one of the biggest agencies of Family First. And it's because of guys like you, the leadership that you display, that Mike's leading you guys, but you're leading your crew of guys, and you're one of Mike's leaders, which allows you start building this band of leaders, and all of a sudden things start, there's this overflowing of volume and overflowing of people making money. Does that make sense?
Yes, it is very clear, and that's what it's all about, man. And that's, you know, being humble in this business is easy because you come to realize pretty quick that about anybody can do this. It has nothing to do with me other than the fact that I go to work, man. So I'll touch on that. Anything else you want to touch on before I kind of get into what
you
want to
talk about?
No,
man, just kill it, bro. Do what you got to do. I know you got a lot to share, and we appreciate your time. Thank you for getting on.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on, bud. It's crazy what a difference a year can make, man. A year ago, I was sitting, you know, middle of the pack, and I appreciate a lot of the things you do leading the company from the front, and just everything you pour into everybody, not only your own group, but everybody throughout the country. And I've been lucky enough to kind of work on that, build a relationship with you at conferences and meetings, and just the small stuff that you and I talk about has motivated me a lot to just go to work, man. That's the biggest thing I got from you, is you're the same way. You're a humble guy. You don't think it's anything special other than you're out working everybody. And this deal is just a big numbers game. It's having a positive mindset and going out and working hard. And I used to trick myself into thinking I was working because work is relative. Right? I used to work 8, 10, 12 appointments, and to me that was work. And when you went through everything at conference and you explained in more detail what work meant, to me, the way I understood it after we talked, I don't know if you remember that text conversation we had, and you're like, dude, it's just leads and appointments. I was like, I got it, but I got leads and I got appointments. And I realized I wasn't running enough. When you told me you were running 90-plus a month, I was like, oh, that's what he means by work. So I took it as I got to go grind. It's a more clear version of work for me. I misinterpreted what people were saying before. So that's what I do now. So I set a goal. One, I have a positive mindset. I know I'm going to win every week. I mean, I think that's key. Honestly, I don't care how many appointments you run. If you have a poor attitude and you let small things get you down, things that you can't even control, you're going to struggle no matter what. So stay positive and just go out there and kill it in terms of how many people you try to see. You're never going to see them all. You're never going to sell them all. You're never going to close them all, or you're going to get no. It is what it is. It's just run the numbers. And so now I talk a lot about having a monthly goal of appointments, because you can trick yourself if you tell someone to run 15 or 20 in a week and they do that once, and then next week they slack off and run 7. Before, by the end of the month, they've only run 52 appointments. So my guys, we try to have a goal of 75, 80 a month minimum. And that keeps us from psyching ourselves out in working hard 1 week and slacking off because we got a nice deposit the following week. So we don't look at numbers week to week or deposits week to week. I set a monthly goal, hit 80 appointments a week, and I promise your life will change fast. I mean, I've been doing it steady for 9 to 12 months, and it's insane what a difference it makes in your life. You know, you were talking about shows in New York and restaurants. It's funny, me and you had some conversation in London, and so did Chalk and I, and we're trying to figure out how to plan around all the vacations we're going to get throughout the year, the free vacations from these carriers. And it's like, it's a different, completely different world from where we were a year or two ago. You know, I couldn't even take a week off. Now I'm getting 4 free paid trips a year, trying to figure out how to plan around it. It's pretty neat. Another thing is, like, a lot of guys struggle with, and this used to be myself included, is investing in leads. And you're one of the biggest leaders in terms of teaching how to invest in leads and the resulting profit it brings. But, like, I get a lot of guys, and I hear it a lot, that they go, well, it's expensive to invest that much money in leads. And so I challenge your thought process with this, and I'll say, I think it's expensive not to invest in leads. And I'll give you a specific example. Mark talks about investing $5,000, whatever it might be, $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 a month in leads, and some guys think that's a lot of money. Well, my rebuttal to that is, if you don't invest that in leads, Mark, you should pay is $50,000 a month. Losing $50,000 a month is expensive. $5,000 in investment in leads is pretty cheap. So I just have a different outlook on it now. And my lead strategy is pretty simple. I'll take as many as I can get. I don't care where they're from, where they are, what type. Just give me as many as I can, because the profitability on them is insane. So I have that different mindset that it's more expensive to not invest in leads than it is to invest in leads. So I think having that mindset will help. It'll help you win week to week. So what I'm going to get into for you, man, is I know you want me to touch on a couple of specifics of things I do in the house. So I'm going to get pretty specific in terms of a couple types. Excuse me, one sec. I had to get sick of water. I apologize. I'm going to get pretty specific in a couple types of appointments that a lot of people ask me about. And it's that I'll give two examples. They're both older clients, mortgage protection. I'll give you an example of, like, mid to late 60s couple, and I'll make him sick, and they got a decent-sized mortgage, $150,000, $200,000, whatever it is. You know, and he had a heart attack a couple years ago, a stroke, whatever it is. He's sick, and he's not getting Family Protector, HMS. There's no shot. So I'll go through what I do to close that, make money in those appointments, and then I'll also go into a single older person. And we'll make them 70s, you know, early, mid-70s, something like that, single, usually widowed. Husband died a few years ago. A lot of times it's a single female living in a $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 house. And so I'll go through what I do to turn that into money. So a couple things. What I'll do before I get into the specifics, because I do this in every house no matter what type of appointment it is, and then I'll get into those two examples. First thing is, when I get into a house, I'm going to skip small talk. Build rapport, of course, happens. I think one of the big things is you've got to be aware of everything around you at all times, because it all factors in. Meaning, I'm paying attention from the second I get out of the car to everything in my surroundings. And the best way I can use an analogy is picture a quarterback playing in the NFL. Right before he's about to get the ball snapped to him, he's watching the defense. He's seeing where the linebackers are set up. He's seeing how the linemen are. He's watching where the safeties are. He's aware of everything before he makes his play. So I kind of look at this like that. And some specific things is like I'm looking at, I don't know, the tag, the license plate on the car. Is it a handicap? Is it not? Do they got stuff on the car that gives away their interests? You know, down here in the South, everybody's got some type of sticker about what college football team they cheer for. Just the little stuff. If they got, you know, you're a little older and they got grandkids' toys in the yard. Things that can, it's like I call it cheating. I like to make this business easy. And if I can use those things from the time I walk from my car to their front door to instantly build rapport, it makes it easy because it's stuff they're interested in. So be aware of what's going on before you run your play. And then when I get in there, when I start going, talking business, I always explain what I do and why I'm there. And the reason I do that is I need to establish myself as a professional, and I want to let these people know the different things that I do that I can provide for them because they don't have, like, a guy to do their stuff. I want to be their guy. And so if these people didn't need help with multiple situations, there's no chance that a complete stranger is going to be allowed in their house. So what I do when I get there, and I understand this, is the very first thing I do when we get into business is I go, listen, I do life insurance, mortgage protection, and retirement planning. Sometimes I'll add on to that and say, meaning I do Social Security planning and 401ks and stuff like that so I can be more specific. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys a bunch of questions so I can better understand your financial situation when someone dies. Does that make sense? 100% of them will say yes. The crazy thing is when you do that, it's weird. Like clients think life insurance and mortgage protection are different. So I just roll with it. I'm not going to argue with them. I just tell them I do both. And what that allows is they'll bring up, now that they know I do that and I've established myself as a professional with it, they will then later on, maybe sometimes right there, be comfortable having conversations with me about their current life insurance policies or their retirement or Social Security questions. If y'all don't understand the ins and outs of how Social Security works, please learn. It will make you a ton of money because the clients don't have a clue. Very few of them understand fully how it works. And if you can do some, I don't have enough time to go through all the details of how it works because there's a lot of neat nuances about the way Social Security works. But if you can learn that kind of stuff, it'll just, again, establish you as more of a professional. It'll open up conversations that will lead to insane amounts of money because they're comfortable talking about retirement. And that's how I roll into annuities. I'll give the best example I have. last year, I wrote no annuities in 2014. I think I ended in the company number 13 or something. We didn't have near the riders we do this year. But I was middle of the road, you know, 175, 200 grand, whatever, and zero annuities. And then I learned to start establishing myself and telling clients, this is what I do. Now, I hadn't really done any, but I said it anyway. And it's funny, even through March of this year, I had zero annuities. And since that date, since March, from March to September, 6 months, I've issued just about 900,000 annuities. From just that one statement at the beginning explaining to clients what I do. The best example I can explain of what happens from it, and it's weird, it happens all the time now, is I said that one statement, I do life insurance, mortgage protection, and retirement planning, so I'm going to ask you some questions so I can better understand the financial situation. This guy got up out of his seat and runs. I mean, the guy's house, just so you can picture, it's a mess. The furniture's upside down. If there's any furniture, he's in ripped jeans. He's got hair like an 80s rock band. Like he just woke up, hair everywhere. His house is a mess. There's papers and mail strewed everywhere. The television's on the front porch. It's really weird. I'd have never guessed that this guy had some money. So I told him that statement. He gets up, runs to the other room like his house is on fire, comes back with this envelope. It says, I'm retiring in 2 weeks. Can you help me with this? And hands me this envelope. It's a Fidelity Investments. And so I open it up. I'm like, sure. I open it up. $566,000 he has in a 401k that he needs to roll in 2 weeks. I was like, dang, I guess that statement works. So this guy, we rolled the money. 4 weeks later, $34,000 deposited in my bank account. My wife, now, every day when I get home, she says, how many annuities did you write today? It's, it'll change your world, man. And just by saying what I do. And, again, since then, I've probably written six or seven more, just under $1 million, and I'll do $1.5 million easy this year in annuities from the one statement. And 6 months ago, I had no clue about annuities. Now, I mean, they're so simple. But just if you can add that for me, you will find money. So be specific and be intentional about adding. Small things add up to big numbers if you do them consistently. So let me get a sip of water real quick. Everything making sense so far, Mark? Loud and clear still? Hopefully I'm not just talking to myself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're loud and clear. Everything makes a ton of sense. Please don't stop.
Good deal, man. All right, so what I'm going to get into now, a couple quick scenarios. We'll go first into, again, senior couple, mid to late 60s, $150,000, $200,000 house, and the husband's sick in some way. Give him whatever you want. Heart attack, it don't matter. He's not getting simplified issue term. A couple things that you need to know about this going in. Like a lot of clients, I'll go through the scenario. But it's like I used to struggle with this, and I would get that deal where they say they come back, and I'd be like, I go back to Mike and some of the guys who are helping me learn this business, and I'd be like, they always just say they want all or nothing. Like I can't get them. They didn't want 25. I told them they can't get the 150 grand because of the heart attack. They didn't want 25 grand through Royal or Senior Tour, whatever it is. They wanted all or nothing, and I always struggled. I could never figure it out. And the biggest thing Mike taught me is you can't tell these people what they don't qualify for. You've got to go about this with a little bit of finesse. So it's like when someone, just think about your own life. When someone tells you you can't have something, what's the thing you want the most? The thing you just told you can't have. You know, it's human nature. So let's not fight human nature. Let's work around it. And so. The way I kind of think about it is like, people go again. How do you overcome this objection? I want it all or nothing. How do you overcome that? And my response is, I think a better question would be, how do we prevent that question, that objection from appearing? Instead of overcoming it, to me that's playing defense, where I'm going to try to teach you a little bit how to play offense. Meaning, let's go about it a different way so that never comes up, because I don't really know how to overcome it. Because if you're going to fight people about it, they want all or nothing, you get into a battle with the client, you got no shot. So I'm gonna teach you a little bit, again, be a little bit offensive about it, and let's create a picture in their mind of a situation to where 25 grand will help them a lot. And so one of the things you got to remember is like old folks are real smart, okay? They don't let them outsmart you. Like, I used to let them trick me into thinking they got to check their budget. Old people are on a fixed income. They know their budget to the penny. They eat at the buffet for $4.99 on Tuesdays because they get a discount, and they know it helps them throughout the week. So it's like we got to outsmart them a little bit. A few things that I know about this type of appointment going in. Number one is they've probably already got some insurance. They're 65-plus years old. You are not the first insurance agent they've ever spoken to. They're smart. They know they're sick. They understand the cost of insurance. There's no way they thought they were getting 150 grand for 38 bucks. So, again, you've got to know they probably have some insurance somewhere. My goal is to find it. Because when I find it, 95%+ of the time, I can find something wrong with it and fix it. Number two, when the husband dies first, when the husband dies, more often than not, the wife is going to move. It's statistically a major overwhelming amount of the spouses that their husband dies, the wife moves somewhere, usually near the grandkids, maybe in with the grandkids. A lot of times downsizes. Very few of them live on their own. So I'm big on odds. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to put the odds on my side and play things that are more favorable to me. You might every once in a while get someone that's 65 plus willing to spend $1,200 a month on insurance is very rare. But all day long, you can get them to spend $200. So I'll take 20, $200 policies in a month versus one big whopper. So my strategy, I'm going to teach y'all to think a little bit differently about these appointments. The third thing that I know about these is equity to these clients is extremely important. He wants to make sure when he goes, whatever equity he's worked so hard to build up goes to his wife. It's very important that equity goes to his wife. So we're gonna talk about that a lot in order to teach them how to protect that equity from going to the bank and going to her. A fourth thing is when, especially on a fixed income, and this again goes into Social Security, when one spouse dies, the loss of income to the second spouse is massive. It's a large, overwhelming majority of her income. She's going to lose her Social Security, get his, probably lose his pension or retirement income or whatever it is. So a lot of times, and Matt Smith has quoted out something crazy like 87% of widows are basically at the poverty line within 3 to 5 years. So I know this going in. And then number five, again, we'll lead in, it can lead you into annuities. These people are all at or near retirement age. So again, goes to the beginning when I explain that's what I do. These people have many times 401k, IRA money, and they're no longer working. That means it's money we can move. So going into this appointment, I understand all these things are very likely in a majority of the appointments I go into. Excuse me. So what I do when I get into a house, knowing these things, is I'm going to talk to them. One, again, I'm going to explain what I do. I do that in every house. I don't care who it is. I explain what I do, and I'm going to ask them some questions. The next thing I typically start with, and especially when they're older, I'm very aware of physically how they look. I'm trying to be aware of if they're sick, meaning like you can tell on their skin if they're sick. You can see those spots. If they wear like these bracelets or necklaces that say you're sick. There's medicines usually all over the house. You might see those weird shoes they wear when they get that neuropathy. There's so many telltale signs that say someone's sick. Even if they're sick or not, when it's an older client, I tend to want to get health information up front, so I'm not blindsided later on in the appointment. So a lot of times I'll have, when I book an appointment, I'll tell someone this age to have a medicine list ready for me when I get there. So I can kind of cheat and know their health in advance, so I know what direction to go sooner. Obviously, based on health determines which carrier we go to. I like to know in advance. So when they're that age, I cheat. I get health earlier than I would if the guy was 35. But when I start getting into it, I go, listen, guys, Bob and Mary, after I've explained what I do, I go, Bob and Mary, let me ask you a question. Which of y'all would hurt worse if the other dies tomorrow? And, I mean, I get right into it. I'm there to do business. I'm 3 minutes in. I don't spend 30 minutes having small talk. I mean, it's 2, 3, 4 minutes talking about something I saw, and I get right into this. So I go, Bob and Mary, which of y'all would hurt worse if the other dies? One of two things happens. They either look at each other, and it means there's a similar income, and they both be in trouble, or she raises her hand, he points at her, and it means it's an overwhelming amount of the income is his. So then being aware of the reaction is key. So I go, okay, Bob, if they say she hurts worse, I got it, Bob, meaning you have more income. Yes, I do. Okay. Well, let's go through your income real quick. And again, I've explained I'm going to go through some questions, so they have no problem giving me any information I ask for. So I go through, and this is Matt Smith. I simplify it, but it's the Matt Smith Financial Inventory. I go through it, and I write this information on the back of the lead. I think having things in writing is key. Again, people are very visual, and if they see their income, and I'm about to show them their loss of income on paper, it will scare them. And scared people will move faster than people that aren't scared will move. So I go, Bob, all right, let's go through your income. I'm assuming you're on Social Security. Yes. What's your income, Social Security? $1,800. Write it down. Social Security, $1,800. Retirement income or pensions, anything like that? Yes, I got $1,200. Okay, so I write down $1,200. Bob, $3,000 income. Any other income? No. Mary, what kind of income do you get? I have Social Security, $1,000 a month. Got it. So you're all making about $4,000 a month in, in total income. Correct. I go, okay, got it. Now the mortgage is what, $152,000, correct? Yes. 30-year loan? Yes. What's your payment? $975 is their payment. Okay, got it. So I'm writing all this information down on the back of the lead. Now, what I do here is I go, okay, do y'all have any other insurance, any life insurance whatsoever that you own? And the reason I ask is if you own, in this example, they aren't working, but if someone's working, I want to know what insurance policy they actually own and is billed to their house, not on the job. The job insurance, is great as it might be if they die while they're working, it's worthless when they stop working. And I address that up front if I need to. In this situation, they're not working, so we'll kind of move on. I'll give the guy some insurance. It doesn't matter if he has it or don't. I can work with it either way. But just so I can explain what I do, when I find someone that has some insurance, we'll say this guy says, yes, I've got whatever company, ARP, Globe, Bankers, Mutual, it don't matter. I've got a $20,000 policy. I got a $20,000 policy. Well, got it. Who's your policy through? ARP. Now, here's where you've got to kind of have a little bit of a poker face, okay? We all know, and if you don't, you should, know that ARP insurance is awful. There's a lot of companies. Our products are phenomenal when it comes especially to final expense policies. Our whole life policies are insane. But you've got to go about this with a little bit of finesse. They will not see on my face that on the inside, I got bells and whistles ringing everywhere. I know I'm about to make some money. But I keep my cool. I go, cool, ARP, what's that run you every month, roughly? They'll tell you to the penny. I don't know why. When I used to ask people how much their insurance or how much 401k they got, they'd get weird about it. And I couldn't get people to talk. When I started saying, give me a ballpark, or give me roughly what it costs you, somehow they give me to the penny what it costs. So a small tweak in my wording seems to get me more information. I go, what's that run you roughly? They'll tell me, $87 a month. I go, got it. Any other insurance? No. Mary, do you have any insurance? Yes, no. It's indifferent to me. We'll say no in this example. So I go, got it. Now, again, I've typically already gone through and figured out the medications. In a normal appointment, I might get them now. This one, because I thought the guy was sick or something rang, but he might be. I kind of already know it, but we'll put them on blood thinners, blood pressure, cholesterol, whatever, thyroid med. It doesn't matter after the blood thinner. But what I got to do here is, next thing I go, is do y'all have anything that acts like life insurance? Meaning, 401k, IRA, retirement, anything like that. This example will say no, they don't. What will happen there is that's where you'll get out 401ks, IRAs. If they said yes, I'd do the same thing. Got it. Who's it through? Give me the amount, ballpark. If some people are hesitant, means they don't trust you yet, a way to trick them into telling you how much is in their IRA or 401k, if they won't tell you straight up or give you a ballpark, you can go, let me ask you, is it enough to pay off the house? They'll all answer, yes, no, it's not. And you can read them, and you can figure out if it's significantly more, significantly less. Like, I had a guy the other day, I asked him that question, and he went, God, no. So I got it. So he's probably got $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. No big deal. So, again, I gather as much information as I can before I'm going to hit them with how we're going to help them. So I got all this information. Now what I want him to do, this appointment can go two ways from this point. Now that I've got the fact that he's got some insurance, I can, a lot of times at this point, I'll be able to flip the appointment from just a standard mortgage protection appointment to fixing some kind of broken insurance. I do it all the time. I'll find a policy. I'll get it out. We'll fix it, replace it, add to it, whatever we got to do. And a lot of times, honestly, the mortgage protection thing never comes up again. It's just, it's the need. So I'm going to kind of explain both roads. The important thing here is to get the policies out in your hand. Now, you've got to understand the client is going to tell you they don't know where it is. I've had it a million times. Everybody on this call, if you've run more than three appointments and have asked for a policy, they don't know where it is. It's in the garage. It's in the basement. I have no idea. It's in a box. It's here, there, wherever. So the easiest way, and this is where it comes in with a little bit of finesse, you've got to understand the thought process of the client. They think that you're going to steal their policy or that you want to replace the policy, which you may, but they don't quite trust that you're going to do the right thing for them yet. So you can't go about getting a policy out in a way that sounds like it's to your advantage, because they will fight you on it. Now, so what I do is I flip it on them, and I make it to where it's to their advantage to go get the policy. If it benefits them, they're going to get up. If it benefits me, they're not. So all I do is I trick them, and I say, listen, Bob, can you go grab that policy for me? A lot of times I'll just say it like, hey, Bob, go grab the policy. If you say it with confidence, I think someone like Mark Mead, some of the top sellers, the confidence they have in the house and the authority in which they say that, I don't know, 10, 20, 25% of the people will just go get it. But what I did, what I started to learn to do was if I said, Bob, can you go grab that policy for me? What I can do is I can I said, Bob, can you go grab that policy for me? It'll save us about 30 minutes worth of health questions, because what I can do is look inside the policy and see how they rated you, and I can get to the pricing on this a lot faster. So what I've done is I've told him by going to get the policy, it's going to save him 30 minutes worth of awful health questions from me. So I flip it into a benefit. And the way I do it is I just say, again, inside I can look at how they rated you, and that'll help me get to the pricing a lot quicker. Does ARP have a rating in their policy? Not really, but it's approved. You can kind of look at health questions, but they don't know that. They don't understand. Now, a lot of policies do. You can see if they're preferred, standard, whatever it is. But it works. The client doesn't understand the ins and outs of insurance. You do. If you tell them, please go get a policy to save us 30 minutes worth of health questions, 95% of them will jump out of their seat and go get a policy, no questions asked. I had a guy kind of fight me the other day a little bit, and he goes, can we just, I have no idea where it is. I'd have to go find it. Can we just do the health questions? And I looked at him and I went, you really going to make me ask you 30 minutes worth of health questions? And he went, good point. And he got up and he went and got his policy. Found out it was a piece of junk, wrote $300 a month in the house. He thanked me up and down afterwards. It happens multiple times a week. Because when you get a policy out, you're going to find crazy stuff. I'll give you a few examples, ARP, Globe, things like that. They either have a two-year wait or they go up in price every 5 years. Or a lot of people in their mid to late 60s, they have a term policy that they bought when they were younger that's fixing to expire. Getting ready to expire. apologize for using the southern on you with the fixing, but it's getting ready to expire. For a lot of people, I find a lot of times clients will have a UL, State Farm, Allstate, companies like that. They write a lot of ULs. They tell the client it's permanent, but when you look at it, it will have very little cash value, and it will be expiring. I'll give you another example. I pulled one out last week. The guy told me it was whole life. We pull it out. It's really a UL, and inside the policy, he had about 6 of the annual statements they send out. He hadn't even opened them. He just kept sticking them in the policy. Well, we opened one up, and a lot of times within a UL statement, it'll say your cash value. It'll explain they're required to send it every year. It'll explain how much cash value there is. And even if you don't understand that, right in the paragraph, it said, based on the premiums you're paying now, your policy is scheduled to expire in March of 2016, and the guy about passed out. And so now I can flip it into, remember up front, I'm the professional that handles life insurance and mortgage protection. He still thinks they're two different things. Now he can come to me for advice. Oh, crap, look, what we found, there's something major wrong with your policy. I just happen to be sitting there, so now he's comfortable talking to me about his life insurance policy that we just found out expires in 6 months. Or goes up every 5 years, or has a two-year wait, whatever the situation is. So many times, right there at that point, the entire appointment changes, and we don't even talk about $150,000 mortgage necessarily. I may not. It may get into fixing that policy and adding more to it for the rest of the appointment I'm going to go through now, regardless of how the insurance turns out. Excuse me, one second. So the way the appointment continues, again, I'll fix insurance. It is what it is. But now that I've got all their information, what I do I've got all the information laid out on the lead. And this is where you've got to, again, you've got to build the story of what's going to happen when they die. And again, so what I do is I go, all right, Bob, Mary, Bob dies tomorrow. Mary, you understand you're going to lose your Social Security, which is $1,000, and I cross it out. Big X right in it. And we've determined there's no survivorship on your pension, so she's going to lose this $1,200. So I cross that one out. I go, so Mary, you're going to lose $2,200 a month, leaving you with his $1,800 Social Security, which you're going to get to keep, and your mortgage is $975. Clearly, there's no way you can live and eat and pay this bill. And they obviously agree. It's impossible to live the lifestyle they're living now with a $2,200 loss. You put it in writing, you don't really have to fight it. It's just as plain as day on a piece of paper. And I go, all right, let me ask you this, Mary. We had talked about the grandkids that live up the street, and you've got your daughter that lives in Florida. Let me ask you this. Bob dies. Where are you going? Are you moving with the grandkids? Are you going to downsize? Are you moving with Susie in Florida? What's the plan? So what I've done there is I've asked the question. I've also planted in her mind her options. I've given her the options. Versus what I want her to do is I want her to verbalize to me which one of those choices she's going to do. Versus telling her, Bob, Mary, she's screwed. When Bob dies, you're screwed, Mary. You're going to have to move. It doesn't come across the same as if she verbalizes it to me. So I feed her the information. I ask her the question. And most, way more often than not, 90% of the time or more, they agree, yeah, I'm going to have to downsize. A lot of times it's planned. Yep, I'm moving in with Susie in Florida. They've already got a basement apartment for me, whatever it is. Or no chance I'm living with my kids, but 100% I'm going to downsize. There's no way I can take care of this big house by myself. I'm going to sell and I'm going to move. So got it. So you're going to be moving to Florida. So let me ask you this. You think y'all said the house, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I always ask about the value of the house when I'm getting the mortgage information up front. So we're gonna go ahead. A lot of times people will overinflate the value of their house. Let's just say it's 200 grand. Even if it's not, I can work with it either way. But in this example, we'll say 200 grand. I go, all right, so you've also got 200 grand in value in this house means you got about 50 grand in equity now. Bob, hopefully you're not dying tomorrow, so a few years down the road, you might have 100 grand plus of equity. Y'all understand what happens, Bob, if you die and Mary can't afford this house, what happens to that equity? And I kind of wait, and I watch them. A lot of them, no. Some of them kind of stare at me. If they stare at me, I'll go, you understand the bank takes it, right? If she misses a payment or two, the bank's taking the house, they keep the equity, correct? Everybody understands it. Most will verbalize it to you. They go, yeah, bank keeps it. Got it. I assume, Bob, you want to make sure that Mary gets the equity in this house. That's important to you, correct? Bob, of course, is going to say yes. He has no option but to say yes. Again, got it. All right, so let me tell y'all a couple options. Here, I do this a lot, and a lot of clients, most of my clients, this is what they do. You've got a couple options. Now, you can buy as much insurance as you want. Again, this guy's got a heart issue. I'm not telling him he can't get $150,000. It will never come out of my mouth. So, Bob, you can buy as much insurance as you want. Let me tell you what most people do. Mary's going to sell the house when you die. What's the point in getting $152,000 worth of insurance when she's just going to turn around and sell the house anyway? That means you're paying for $150,000 worth of insurance for nothing. What most clients do is they just want to make sure there's enough time for Mary to sell the house like she plans to without losing it to the bank. Because we want to make sure she gets that $50,000 in her pocket. She can then use that money to buy another house, correct? Yes. I go, well, most clients, what they do is they get enough insurance to pay this $975 for a year, two, maybe three, so she doesn't have to think about nothing after you die, finance-wise. She's got enough money in the policy to pay the bill for a couple of years and figure out what to do, where to go, and recoup the equity. Do y'all see how that makes a little more financial sense? 80-90% of them will go, wow, never thought of it that way. So I've enlightened them to another alternative because they think that it's 152 or nothing. They don't understand there are options. and you've established yourself as a professional, I tell them most of my clients do it this way, and people want to do what people do, so they will want to follow the herd and do what everybody else does. And you've established yourself in several different areas so far as a professional with knowing about insurance and annuities and mortgage protection and all that, so they value your opinion. And if that's what most of the people are doing, and now you're a savior because they understand, and this is an example you can give them, if they say something silly like, I thought it'd be $50 a month, you can go, just do the math. Bob, you're paying $87 a month for $20,000. You really thought getting 10 times the insurance was going to be less? I'm like, they know, but don't let them outsmart you. There's no chance Bob at 67 with a heart attack thought $150,000 worth of insurance was going to be $42. They just tell you that because you have no comeback. So they're playing offense instead of you playing offense. So I just flip it on them if I need to. But most times when I explain that scenario, Mary needs to gather the equity, needs to have the insurance by the time to sell the house, to not lose the equity, and move to Florida with Susie, it's like the light bulb goes off. And I'm the savior who thought about this idea of them spending $150 versus I see it every week. I sat with a guy yesterday, same thing. Someone had just sat with him last week from Mutual of Omaha, showed him $150,000 worth of coverage. It was like $1,300. The guy only makes like $1,400. I'm thinking, like, what are these agents thinking? So I can get the guy to accomplish exactly what he wants, his wife not to be homeless, get all the equity, and make sure she has nothing to worry about for $150 versus everybody else wants $1,200. So they're slam dunks when you paint the picture through questions like that. Now, again, a lot of times what will happen in that situation is, I'll give you kind of one layer of that. We got the ARP policy that we're going to replace, and we've got the scenario where we want to make sure we protect the equity. I'll go, why don't we do this, guys? Why don't we get you the $15,000, $20,000 that will cover the year or two of mortgage payments, and then just add $10,000 or $20,000 to it and have everything covered in one policy. We'll get $30,000. It's one policy. It's $212. Mortgage is covered. Burial is covered. Everything's taken care of. One policy. And you can be approved on the phone in 20 minutes. Lights out. So it's just a different perspective. And never once out of my mouth, again, I'll repeat it again, never once do I say that the client does not. Different viewpoint. That's kind of how I go through that one. Mark, still loud and clear. That makes sense for you.
John, you're a modern-day Picasso. And I'm sitting on this phone. I'm listening to the way you're painting it. And I'm literally just like shocks are going through my body, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And it's like the top guy, I mean, listen, when you were running 10, 12 appointments a week, because right now your awareness and how you deal with these clients, some of the stuff you said, anybody on this call can understand, you know, which one of you hurt the worst if either one of you died. And then you watch their reaction, meaning you've seen that reaction so many times, it's imprinted in your brain to the point where you said it's either one or two reactions. See, I need people to understand the awareness that John has when he's going through every single scenario, how he puts the client in a box, and then he assumes just about everything in a very friendly, helping way. He doesn't attack the client, doesn't attack their policies, he doesn't set himself up with questions he doesn't know the answer to. I'm assuming that when you die, you want Mary to have the equity in his house, correct? There's no way for him to answer that any other way but yes, which is genius, and which is why he writes what he writes. But when you were running 8, 10, 12 appointments a week, did you have the repetition to create that type of awareness? When did you start that good?
No. Yeah, it's 100%. It's like people go all the time. Like I get new guys and like, well, you're just better than me. No. I'm not better at all. I'm just more experienced. It's like riding a bike, man, or riding a skateboard. You know, someone who rides a skateboard once a week, they might be able to make it down a flat surface and not bust themselves. But second they go down a hill, they're going to break an arm. So the guy who does it every day since the time he was six, I mean, he can do it with his eyes closed and flip and all this crazy stuff they do. It's just repetition makes this business so simple. There's no one on the phone that can't do what I just did. You just got to practice it and do it over and over and over and over again. Watch the reaction, pay attention to the result, and adjust as necessary. I mean, I've been tweaking this thing for 3 years now, you know, and I get information from people like Mark and Matt. And I'm blessed to be 2 feet from Kilometz's office. I mean, I feel so fortunate with the people I've been blessed with to learn this business because my background is accounting. I have zero insurance, very little sales experience. I was doing mortgages when you could take orders and do mortgages. So I'm no sales background whatsoever. It's just paying attention. People are people are people, and they all react in a very similar way. Mm-hmm. So if you can learn to control that through your actions and words, you get better at it fast. I mean, I'm telling you, a year, you want to see a change in a financial situation. Run 80 appointments a month for a year. Steady. Mm-hmm. Issue pay 400. Anyone can issue pay 400 grand if they go to work. And just you know, get the four quadrants. I'm the IUL one now. You know, you're training on that the other day with insane. But do mortgage protection, annuities, IULs, referrals. It'd be lights out, man. Me and you were joking yesterday. Issue pay 7 figures. I don't think it's impossible. I think someone can do it.
I love it.
So,
and that's what's great, man. You know,
I can tell you about the single one, but it's about the same setup, same concept. The only person we're protecting is the kid. If it's a single 70-something-year-old, I'd set the same scenario. But her biggest fear is she doesn't want to be a burden to her children. So I set the same scenario. I assume you just want to make sure when you die, Susie can sell the house and not have to come out of pocket to pay the bill every month. Of course she's going to say yes. It's the same situation. Why don't we do it this way? Here's what most people do. They get 15 grand, pays the bill for Susie for a year, she can sell the house, get the equity. Same exact situation. But equity is more important. I mean, not being a burden is the most important thing to a 72-year-old widowed woman with children all day long. So,
if people could understand how unemotional John is about moving away from the mortgage protection, like just moving, the word never ever comes up again. They wanted $150,000, they wanted $200,000 of life insurance, and they knew it was going to be high, and they really just went, I can't afford it, and move on. John moves on from it so. Matter of fact, it's an art. I mean, and he's doing it in a way he has to teach himself exactly the steps, what he's doing. Now you guys have this call. All you have to do is listen to it 6 times a day, and you'll be doing this in a week. And then all of a sudden now you're building where there was no sale, there's a sale. John is manufacturing premium in his basement. He's just manufacturing the deals. They all stick. It makes a lot of sense to the client. You rarely get chargebacks on that stuff, I'm sure. Nobody calls you to say, I can't afford it, because he already went through all that. I mean, your confidence is through the roof, man. I can't say enough about what you did for us on this call. I can't wait to listen to this call. I took a ton of notes, and I'm definitely going to be using them. A lot of this stuff is great, man. So appreciate you more than you can know.
And man, anything I can do for you, man, you've helped me a ton. So whatever you need, man, glad to help out.
80 appointments a month, folks. I love it. I love how they look at their appointments monthly, not weekly. That's huge. So at the end of the month, you can say, I didn't do well. How many appointments did you run this month? 30. Okay. Well, there's your answer. You run 80 consistently for a year and watch your life. I love that. You guys run a real simple offense that's very effective. I love it. Thanks for getting on the call, bro. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Guys, make it a great week. Oxford's call is at 11 o'clock. They're doing a call on their final expense product. I love that product. You should write it. Get on the call. Get better. God bless.